What to do with extra money in the bank? I'll answer that next on Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio with New York Times best-selling author and your host, Doug Andrew.
This is Doug Andrew speaking to you, our incredible national audience, from our three-dimensional wealth studios nestled at the base of the majestic Rocky Mountains. This show is about empowering you, people, and organizations that want to optimize their assets, minimize taxes, and empower their authentic wealth. You may be aware I have a YouTube channel. It's called Three-Dimensional Wealth. It's free when you subscribe. And I post an in-depth answer to a financial question at least 5 days every week. And recently, I answered this question, what to do with extra money in the bank? You'd be surprised how many hundreds, if not thousands of times that question is asked. Well, simply put, I would say, if it's earmarked for long-term goals, any goal 6 months or longer, I would say get it out of there. Okay. Now, why? A bank, a credit union, is a short-term vehicle, okay? Those are for short-range goals. I would say some goals may be less than 5 years, I would define as short-range goals. You're saving for a piano or to go on a trip or for a baby or something like that. But oft times, I will not park money in a bank or a credit union at pathetically low interest rates for any goal that I have 6 months or longer down the road, because I can actually have a more liquid place, safer, earning a higher rate of return by not having money in a bank or a credit union. Now, they're convenient for checking and, you know, they have a drive-up window and all that kind of stuff. But frankly, you can access your money just as easily online these days with an electronic funds transfer or a phone call. So I'm going to go through the criteria on what kind of money you maybe want to have sitting in a bank or a credit union. But everything else, if I were you, I would get it out of the bank and increase the liquidity, safety, and rate of return, and even the tax benefits that you do not have with your money sitting in a bank or a credit union. Now, again, probably one of the biggest mistakes being made by people in America, and this has been true my entire 4.5-decade career, is people oftentimes make mistakes by having their money in a short-term type of a repository, and it's earmarked for long-range goals. Or they do the opposite. They put money into a long-term investment and act like it's a put-and-take account with a drive-up window for short-term objectives, and so that doesn't work either. So first of all, you need to understand a bank or a credit union, as far as I'm concerned, is for the short term. They are pretty lousy at providing good rates of return for you for long-range goals, and I'm going to illustrate this in just a moment. So a lot of times a bank or a credit union is what we call a put-and-take account, but too many people are using it as a put-and-keep account where they're keeping money in there, and the average return, golly, for the last decade or more has been pretty pathetic, because when interest rates are low for borrowing, they're also low for earning. And so many people have been earning less than 1%. Let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's say you're earning 1% on your bank savings. Now, if you understand the rule of 72, you take the interest rate you earn on any investment and you divide that rate into the number 72, and it will tell you how long it will take to double your money. So if you divide 1 into 72, that means it'll take 72 years for your money to double. If you had $10,000 in the bank, it's going to take 72 years before it's worth $20,000, but that's if it's tax-free. Most of the time, you're going to have to pay taxes every year on whatever that interest is, as low as it is. So you're really not going to have net a doubling of your money in 72 years, because Most money you put in a bank or credit union is taxable or taxed as earned or taxed sooner or later because it's a tax deferred, maybe IRA or 401k. But it's even more than rate of return. I mean, if you can earn a rate of return of 7.2% and your money doubles every 10 years. If you earn 10%, your money doubles every 7.2 years. If you earn just 5%, your money doubles every 14.4 years. So it's way better than having your money at 1% that takes 72 years for your money to double. But historically, if you look at really serious periods of time like the Great Depression, during the Great Depression, banks closed their doors, and I think about 40% never reopened again. Some real estate dropped in value as much as 80%. You know who came through the Great Depression with flying colors? It was the legal reserve insurance companies. Those companies that had reserves on hand that were liquid and safe, and they were coming through the Depression, usually crediting 2.5%, 3.5% interest. When a lot of banks didn't even open their doors again. So usually legal reserve insurance companies, they are the backbone of America and frankly the backbone of the world. So let's jump to 2008 when we had that mortgage meltdown, and a lot of Americans don't realize how close we came in America to a total financial collapse. And so there were about 400 banks that went under in the year 2008 in America. 900 more were on the watch list, on the brink of going under. And so the federal government asked the five major banks to disclose where they had their Tier 1 assets for liquidity and safety. And the five major banks disclosed that they had between 30 to 40% of their Tier 1 assets in insurance companies. Oftentimes in the form of BOLI, B-O-L-I, that stands for bank-owned life insurance. Yeah, you can't put life insurance death benefits on a bank because they don't die. Corporations aren't supposed to die. But the banks own life insurance policies on people. And it's the owner of the insurance policies that gets all the tax-free accumulation, the rate of return, tax-free access, and so forth. And so these institutions, they own insurance policies that have cash in them that have been maximum funded. In fact, a lot of major corporations have their Tier 1 assets in COLI, C-O-L-I, Corporate Owned Life Insurance. And so this is a secret that a lot of people don't understand, but let me tell you why banks did that. See, if you put your money in a bank and combined with several of us, we deposit, let's say $1 million. Let's say there's a bunch of us. And so we deposit $1 million in the bank. And the bank is paying 1%. What's 1% on $1 million? That's 10 grand. So the bank has to pay $10,000 at the end of that year or credit 10 grand in interest to all of us. They have to credit us 1%. So that's a total of $10,000 for borrowing our money. Because, see, when you have money, there's only four things you can do with money. You can spend it, lend it, own with it, or give it away. When it's in a bank or credit union or even an insurance company, it's in a lended position. Are they just a benevolent institution, you know, paying you interest while it sits in a vault? No. Okay, what are they doing with your money? They're reinvesting it. They're loaning it back out again at 5%. But what banks said in 2008 is they were borrowing money from Americans at 1%, let's say, and they are putting it into these insurance companies, and most of the insurance companies were crediting on their insurance contracts 5% without even using indexing strategies, where I like to tweak my returns up to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10%. So the bank is borrowing $1 million from us and paying us $10,000. They turn around and make $50,000 on that million. How much more is $50,000 than $10,000? Don't say $40,000. It's 500% more. It's five times. I mean, would you hire an employee for $10,000 that made you an extra $50,000? Would you buy a widget machine for $10,000 that made you an extra $50,000? That's called a 500% return on employment cost or equipment cost. Business owners understand this. So the point is this. Why don't you just bypass the middleman with your long-term money, any money that you have earmarked for a goal 6 months or longer down the road, and you can increase the liquidity. I can access my money just as conveniently, almost, by putting it into an insurance company. I've had money that has been wired to my account in 24 hours, okay? Most emergencies can wait 24 hours. But safety. Do you know that a lot of these illegal reserve insurance companies, where I put my money, are ranked six notches higher in safety than most banks? Most banks might be rated triple B with Standard & Poor's. A lot of these companies are rated AA or AAA. That's like six notches higher in safety. So you increase the liquidity and the safety. But the rate of return, I've been able to earn 6%, 8%, 10%, even more. And so why would you not do that? You bypass the middleman, and guess what? If you earn 5%, your money doubles every 15 years instead of 72 years. At 6%, every 12 years. At 7.2%, every 10 years. At 10%, your money doubles every 7.2 years. A half a million doubles to a million every 7.5 years, and then to 2 million, and then to 4 million, and then to 8 million. Yes.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
Where is the safest place to put money? I'll address that next. Welcome back. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. I'm Doug Andrew. And if you're just joining us, in the previous segment, I was talking about what to do with extra money in a bank or credit union, that type of an institution. And so I was talking about periods of time in American history like the Great Depression or 2008, when we almost had a total financial collapse in America, where banks and credit unions have your money when you deposit it to them. They turn around and they loan it back at five times what they're paying us. That's called the velocity of money. I won't go into that right now, but that's they're turning around and putting it off times into insurance companies. One in particular that I use manages about $3 trillion. That's as much money as the IRS collects in taxes in an entire year from income tax. Okay, one insurance company. And so they're huge. And so banks will turn around and increase the liquidity, the safety by usually six notches higher, and the rate of return. They borrow our money at 1%. They turn around and make very easily 5%. So they make 50 grand on every million they borrow from us, and they only have to pay us 10,000. And that's just how money works. Now, when people ask the question, so where is the safest place to put money? Many people think, well, a bank or credit union is the safest place. Well, they're usually thinking because banks are insured by FDIC. And yes, that came about because of the Great Depression. And so there were some regulations that passed so that people wouldn't run on the bank. Because before the changes were made, a bank or a lending institution could call your mortgage due anytime they wanted to. Now they can't call the mortgage due unless you're like 90 days delinquent if they have a trust deed note on your property. So that's why we don't see as many, panics or runs on the banking institutions. But hello, they don't have your money sitting in some vault. So when people ask the question, where's the safest place? Whenever like the savings and loan industry, when that got into trouble, FSLIC, the amount of premiums those savings and loans paid to be federally insured, that was all gobbled up, and FDIC had to come in and sort of bail them out. When FDIC doesn't have enough money, of course, the government has the ability to tax us and to print money and so forth. So a lot of people think, well, okay, banks, credit unions, it's safe because it's federally insured. Now, I don't feel quite that strong about the government guaranteeing that things are going to be okay, but that's why most people feel that a bank or a credit union is a safe place. Well, there are rating agencies out there, and we talk about Standard & Poor's has a rating system, Duff & Phelps, Moody's, Fitch, there's been all kinds of them, AM Best for insurance industry. And so there's a lot of different rating agencies, and so I usually look at the combination of all of those. One of these is a combination, it's called a Comdex score, and I like to put my money into the financial institutions that are ranked in the top 10 percentile, okay? In other words, 90% of financial institutions are ranked lower. And that's where I like to put my money and increase the safety as far as the ratings are concerned. Because in the previous segment, I was talking about in 2008, when the federal government asked the five major banks in America to disclose where they had their tier one assets. What's a tier one asset? That's money they have to have on hand, liquid and safe in case of a run on the bank. Okay. And they had 30 to 40% of their tier one assets in insurance companies. So, hello, why don't you just bypass the bank, bypass the middleman? Why would you want to put money earmarked for long-term goals in a bank when they're only paying you 1% when the bank is taking that money and putting it into insurance companies and earning 5%? You could just bypass the middleman and earn 5% yourself. And people say, well, how do you do that? Or is it liquid? Can I access it? Well, you may not have a drive-up window, but if push comes to shove, you can access the money in, you know, 1, 2, 3 days. I mean, it's very liquid and it's very safe. That's why the bank is taking some of your money and increasing the safety and the rate of return by 5 times. So why would I do that? Because historically, the legal reserve insurance industry, now legal reserve means these insurance companies have to have reserves on hand that are liquid and safe in case of a total collapse. And so they diversify in very conservative places. They might have 10 or 15% of their assets in AAA and AA bonds. They may loan out 15 or 20% of their general account portfolio on mortgages on shopping malls and skyscrapers, but oftentimes they only loan like 50% loan to value, not 80 or 90% loan to value like a lot of banks do. So they have this huge cushion. If they invest in stocks, it's usually very solid stocks, and it's only a very small percentage of their overall general account portfolio. So you look at that, and you get lessons from the Great Depression in 2008, because the legal reserve insurance industry came through the Great Depression in 2008 with flying colors. So I'm just saying, where do banks put your money to increase safety and rate of return by 5 times? Oftentimes, they will own life insurance on individuals. That's called BOLI, bank-owned life insurance. Corporations have COLI, C-O-L-I. That's corporate-owned life insurance. So when you look at this, the legal reserve insurance industry is the backbone of America and the backbone of the world. And they manage not just billions, but trillions of dollars, especially collectively. But some of them, just one insurance company, oftentimes manages as much money as the IRS collects in taxes in an entire year in America. So they're huge. So how can you earn, you know, 6%? 8% or maybe 10% average return safely? Well, it's not in a bank. Okay. I'm just saying you could increase the safety by maybe 6 notches from triple B up to triple A. You could increase the rate of return from 1% up to 6% by repositioning that money. And any goal that you have that is longer than 6 months out, you'll actually increase the liquidity. You can actually access the money. Do you know a bank or credit union could stall giving you your money, I think, up to 6 months if push came to shove and there was a total panic in America? So I want to have liquidity. I want to have safety, and I want to have a better rate of return. And the nice thing about the insurance companies, if you do it into a life insurance contract and you're putting in the most money and taking out the least amount of insurance, you're using it for living benefits. And this is where many people, I've earned rates of return of 8.2 netting 7.2 cash on cash. What's the 1% difference? It's not tax, because this is tax-free. It's the cost of the insurance that the IRS says has to be there, or it will not be tax-free. But I'm earning 8.2 netting 7.2. Many years I've earned 11 and netted 10. But see, that is tax-free. Whereas if you earned, 6% in a bank, you'd only net maybe 4 or 5% after tax, because you have to pay tax on the interest a bank pays you. Even if it's an IRA or 401k, you're going to have to pay tax on it when you take it out. An insurance contract, you can accumulate your money tax-free. But when you go to access that money for income, it's tax-free if you do it the smart way. And when you ultimately die, it blossoms in value and transfers income tax-free. There's not a bank or credit union around that'll do that. And so, as far as I know, there's no IRA or 401k around that will do that. And that's why my preferred vehicle for safety is not in those institutions. My serious cash, I want to increase the liquidity, safety, the rate of return, and the tax benefits. And so that spells an acronym, LASER. LASER, liquid assets, safely earning returns. And that's why I put my money into what I call the LASER Fund. And so I wrote a book about it, and it explains. It's 14 chapters with all kinds of charts and graphs, but it's also two books in one because you flip the book over, and there's 12 chapters with 62 Chicken Soup for the Financial Soul stories on how to do this, how you can earn, you know, 6, 8, maybe 10% average rates of return.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.